time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.
Good morning. It's the Grilling Guys. So it's Saturday morning and we're going to fire up our grills. I'm in studio. My name is Barbecue Bob. We're all about grilling. Next to me is the rather handsome and svelte Crappie Joppy.
Good morning, everybody. Glad to be here.
And across the studio is the ever, ever
popular Michael Gray.
Keep in mind that certain adjectives are not fit for broadcast, Bob. I can see where you're going with this.
Thank you. It's Michael Gray with us. So you have all three of us boneheads in the studio this morning. We're going to talk grills, beer, asada, pigs. We're going to talk about a lot of things this morning. The first thing we want to get into right off the bat is our Name the Pig contest. The Grilling Guys have procured a cute little pig that we are raising all summer long, and Randy's going to tell us about that.
Yeah, we're lucky enough to find a little bicolor piglet that we just got put at a farm out by Grattan, actually. A guy by the name of Chad Steenum is going to raise it for us, and he goes by Buck. Any of you that are from North Side of Grand Rapids, he's kind of a local legend. But anyway, he's going to put together a plan for this pig throughout the summer, and then in the fall we're going to have a Grilling Guys feast. And what we thought we'd do is see if you guys out there could help us name the pig. We've got a couple ideas. Michael threw in Choppy because I procured the pig, so we got Choppy Joppy and we got Crappie Joppy. Okay, I'm getting a little tired of all the rhyming, but we could use a little name help naming the pig.
And your beer's hoppy.
Yeah, it is. Not my favorite ones, but I drink those. Yeah, exactly.
So if you go to thegrillingguys.com, you can see that we have an entry there with a picture of that cute little fella. And he is multicolored, so it's not to offend any other pigs.
And I got bad news for everybody that's going to enter this contest. I'm sorry. Choppy Joppy the pig? Choppy the pig. Choppy the pig.
Yeah, we got to drop the Joppy because Randy's wife's going to get offended. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But the winner of the naming contest,
I didn't realize you took her name in the wedding. I apologize for that.
She doesn't want a kid that looks like that, looks like his dad.
Yeah. The winner of the contest, though, will have an invitation for four people to come to the barbecue and join us in the fall.
Oh, four people?
Yeah, that's all.
An arbitrary number?
Yeah, I came up with that. I
see
good.
You just pulled that out
right
of somewhere. I was thinking five.
But, okay.
Or 50. It's going to be a big pig by fall.
So how do you grill a pig, Bob?
Very carefully.
Right.
I'm going to smoke it on the good one.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Whole thing, head and all? What are we doing here?
I think we should.
We're going to go the full Anthony Bourdain, no boundaries, just throw it on a spit and eat whatever comes off?
Yeah. Maybe we should do it asada style.
Is it asada or asado?
I don't know.
I didn't do real well in Spanish.
I can't even say Argentina.
I think you just did.
Oh.
Good. So you're a liar on top of everything.
Well, anybody that knows me already figured that out.
Yeah, because I'm wondering about that. I did some pork over the earlier in the week, busted out the grill, threw on some of the Three Little Pigs, their Memphis rub, just on some regular old pork chops, seared them for about 20 minutes. They were good, but that will not get the job done with Choppy the Pig. We got to come up with something a little grander.
Yeah, well, we've got the equipment, and one of the things we did want to talk about today is choosing a grill, right, Bob?
That's right. But before we do delve into that, let's make sure everybody gets to thegrillingguys.com and takes a look at that cute little fellow because he's going to be on our picnic table come September.
We need to put him on a funeral pyre Conan style and just like a 20-foot stack of wood and then throw him in the middle and eat whatever's left.
I don't know about that.
Come on. Let's get Viking with this guy.
I would like...
Send him out in style. Send him to Valhalla or wherever pigs go.
I would like to see what kind of names we can come up with, though. Bob@thegrillingguys.com.
You've got your name. You've got your name. It's Choppy. Leave it there. Come on. What's going to be better than that?
Send me an email. Bob@thegrillingguys.com. You can remember that, Michael. Send your email in. You'll have to use like a different name like Priscilla or whatever your stage name was.
I got an email for you.
Yeah, well, first thing this morning, we want to talk about how to pick a grill. Now, we went into this in the first show, but there was only three people listening, and I think they've all moved out of the West Michigan area by now. So,
If the census results are any indicator, yes.
Yeah.
Our interstates are all one ways.
There's a truck out in front of the building right now, so we got to make this quick. So what do you think about picking a grill? It's going to be that time of year when everybody's getting the snow off their deck and starting to look at what's left of their grill.
Well, what are my options, Bob? I think that we start with size, because that always matters. And then maybe the fuel type that we're looking at, and are we going to use direct heat or indirect heat? These are all things that we need to consider when we're looking at a grill, right?
And how many grills do you want on your back deck? Kind of gone are the days of just a grill for a lot of us. A lot of people have two or three different types of grills based on what they want to cook. Michael has got at least three.
No, I'm up to four at this point.
Yep, and again, within the categories, there are subcategories. That is, for gas grills, we've got direct heat and we've got infrared.
Okay, let's talk about gas grills then.
Okay. All right, a lot of people have gas grills on their deck. It seems to be one of the most popular. We all live a very busy lifestyle, and when you come home and you got to put a dinner together for your family, you know, the gas grill is the way that a lot of us do it, because you can turn it on, you're up to temperature in 2 or 3 minutes, maybe a little less, or more, rather, in this weather. But it's a convenient way to grill.
I do believe the stats nationwide are somewhere around 53% of all Americans have a gas grill.
That's right. And what do they use it for fuel on that? It's just propane mostly, isn't
it? Typically, but more and more people are getting it plumbed into their fuel supplier in the house. So I'm on propane out in the woods, so mine's plumbed into propane. But people on natural gas, it's very common for them to purchase a grill that is set up for natural gas. And even if your grill's not set up for natural gas, you can usually get a conversion kit, and it's basically a few orifices. And
okay.
Then you adjust your air shutters because your fuel-to-air mixture is a little different from propane to natural.
Yeah, one burns a little hotter than the other, so you got to mix a little less air in with it to get the steady temperatures you want, right?
Or a little more air, that's right. Propane is a dense fuel, so it needs to open your shutter up more. And that kind of comes down to flame color and some of the things that we'll get into when we talk about troubleshooting them. But for a gas grill, I'm obviously very heavily tied to tech, as we are on this show, and I've become a huge fan of infrared.
So tell me the difference. What's the difference between the gas grill I might find at the local big box store and an infrared? Well, they might have infrared there too, but a tech grill specifically.
They will. The infrared grills that you see in big box stores are going to be the old infrared technology. Tech's patent on their basic infrared went out 5 years ago, and everybody grabbed it and went to China or Mexico and started making some junky infrared burners.
Right.
So there's a gazillion of them out there. Most of them are not very good. Tech infrared is going to be stainless, and they're going to have a ceramic glass plate that actually radiates 100% infrared. That's critical, because the pure infrared rays cook your meat instead of convective heat. It's the convection, that hot air going by your meat, that dries it out.
Okay, so the real advantage then of an infrared grill is that you're going to get juicier and
much more so, I should say,
pieces of meat when you're done. Excellent, excellent.
You're tuning into the Grilling Guys every Saturday 9 to 11 here on 107.3 WBBL FM. This morning, breaking down all the various kinds of grills, getting you ready for spring. Snow will be gone soon enough. And while you're talking about infrared grills, I think you both just danced right around the biggest asset, the biggest upside to having an infrared grill. It's the fact that impresses everybody. You're talking about space age technology. You might as well be cooking with the space shuttle. You're like, it's infrared. You know what? It's science-y. You wouldn't understand it. Just go sit down and eat. You get to drop that on guys whenever you want when you're cooking with one of these things.
You sound like a guy that knows a lot about gas.
You know what? I don't. I don't know the first thing about a gas grill. I won't own one. I've got four grills at home. They're all charcoal fired, all of them. But an infrared grill, you could talk me into that, if only for the fact that I could get kind of hoity-toity pinkies out about it and say, you know, it's infrared. Mm-hmm. It's science fiction.
If you have a Hummer sitting in the driveway,
yeah, exactly.
You have to have an infrared.
You gotta get, you know,
well,
drop some knowledge.
I think there isn't Ruth Chris going into the 1913 room.
That is what I understand. Yes.
Yeah, they use infrared. Matter of fact, they use tech infrared technology.
Another great little piece of information to drop on somebody. They're like, you know what? I don't want to have to explain the technology to you. You probably wouldn't understand. You don't have a PhD. Safe to say, Ruth Chris uses the same kind of ovens we're using.
And
just go sit down and eat.
Legendary.
That's right. And the Grill Envy, this show is all about that. We want to set you up on your back deck with something that you're going to produce a meal that's unlike anything your neighbors or your friends or your guests have ever had. And the Infrared is a great place to start.
And those start about $16.99, maybe $15.99.
I think you just explained why I don't have one.
Well, so let's talk about the guy who wants to spend $400 or $500.
Sure.
Okay.
Typically, that's those guys are going to shop, or we are going to shop at a big box store or a grill specialty store
That used to happen, but the trend that's occurring now is people already have two or three of those. I think Michael had to haul one out of his father-in-law's backyard, didn't you?
Yeah, I've got it fell apart. Fell apart. The grates fell apart. Everything fell apart.
So if it says made in Mexico, made in China, step away.
Keep looking.
Step away.
There's American-made gear to be found out
there. That's right. You need to go to your local grilling shop, your local hardware stores. I think of Riley's. She's got a beautiful, Lori Terpstra has a beautiful selection of grills down there. Weber, different brands. One comes to mind is Broil King.
Okay.
It's excellent grill. For $400 or $500, you can get a really nice grill.
And what makes it nice, Bob? What are you looking for?
Stainless burners, made in America, made in at least Canada, where you have responsible employees putting it together. You know, fair trading partners for us. Sandy Kingsland, he has a beautiful selection of grills on the floor, and he knows grills. I mean, the guy goes out and shops for his merchandise himself. You've got the owner on the premise, not some kid with a staple in his lip. And you know,
I used to be that kid
talking on his cell phone.
What are you gonna do?
Texting.
12 years of rock radio. The other thing that's hugely important with gas grills that my father-in-law found out the hard way, you already alluded to this, the grates, the ceramic grates that he had, they bowed. They don't fit in the grill anymore. You cook for 3 months on the thing and they're all warped and falling out of it. He was hot.
They were stamped.
Yeah.
You want solid grates. Cast grates are the best. When you talk to people that do a lot of charcoal cooking like you do, they'll certainly appreciate the grill marks that cast will give you because it's transmitting that heat so well. It'll sear that nice mark in your meat.
And you know it's not going to disappear over the course of a season. You're going to you're gonna have to really try to burn through them.
Nutritionists will actually tell you that you get some iron in your food from that cast iron grate, and that's good for you.
Yeah, it is. Plus, it's all about that grill envy, man. I mean, you put a crosshatch steak on somebody's plate, and it looks like you know what you're doing.
Now, that covers the gas realm of things. I assume we're going to come over to the good side, the man side, the cave boy side, where we're going to talk about charcoal coming up next.
We will. We'll have to talk about that next. But Randy's all about grill envy, and I can understand that because he has a shiny black Cadillac, and I have car envy. Every time I see him pull up into my yard, I realize I'm slumming it.
All real guys know that. It's all about your equipment, whether it's a stereo, whether it's a pickup truck. You want the one that makes the guy next door go, damn it.
And we'll be back in just a minute. This is the Grilling Guys on WBBL FM 107.3 every Saturday morning from 9 to 11.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys on 107.3 WBBL FM.